Welcome to What the Fantasy, and I am Brandon Hay at HeyB3.
Good evening, everybody. My name is Zada Kantabedian. I'm at ZKantsFF on Twitter, and I'm happy to be back with my friend Brandon. I had some personal stuff that came up last week, like pretty much last minute. But Brandon did a great job on this pod. He ran it solo last Wednesday. He actually got into some really good college discussion, which I haven't heard him talk about a lot. And he's really sound. He really knows what he's talking about with the college stuff. And I could probably learn a thing or two from him because I'm more on the shallow end of the pool when it comes to college football. So good job with that, Brandon.
Thank you. I appreciate that. Well, maybe we'll try to incorporate that, you know, every now and then now. I'm glad to have you back. It was a little nerve-wracking doing it by myself. But, you know, like I told you pre-show, no one complained. So either no one listened or no one was disappointed. So either way, you know, that's good. So, yeah, we're back, you know, another week. Some surprising games. And first off, we're going to start. This was actually a conversation in one of my group chats after the Monday night game. I was surprised the Bills beat the Bills lost to the Tennessee Titans. And yet again, Derrick Henry just showed that he is a monster and that, you know, no one can tackle him. Did you get to watch that game on Monday night?
I really wanted to, but I was in a sweat. I was up like 12 points on an opponent who had Zach Moss, and just watching it was so nerve-wracking. I just opted to play Call of Duty. So I would tune in every once in a while, only when the Titans were driving, because I didn't want to watch Zach Moss. And I pinched out, but I saw Derrick Henry's touchdowns, which is basically like every time that I turned the game on, he was running in for a touchdown pretty much.
Yeah. So in one league I was up, I think 15 points. I had Jeremy McNichols, which apparently they just decided not to give him the ball at all that game. And my opponent had Derrick Henry. So obviously I lost because, you know, Derrick Henry went off. McNichols didn't do anything. But anyway, there is a discussion that, you know, in our generation, you know, so I guess I think the person said is maybe mid-20s. But so is Derrick Henry the best running back of that generation? So I thought we could kind of discuss that. I only have a couple running backs that I would put ahead of him just at when they were at their peak. So what are your thoughts about Derrick Henry possibly being the best running back of our generation?
Well, I mean, if we're going to talk about best running back, I think we kind of have to operationally define what best running back actually means. Like, are we talking about like skill set? Because if we're talking about a man who's just a monster and putting up numbers on the board, then yeah, he's the best running back of our generation. But if we're talking about like the most well-rounded running back, I think we can talk about like Jamaal Charles and LeSean McCoy. Even Marshawn Lynch was something. He was very unique. I think those three running backs are great. So it depends what we're talking about. If I'm a coach, I think any NFL coach at this point in their careers would choose Derrick Henry over any of those other three running backs, though. So it's a tough decision, and I don't want to put Derrick Henry over those guys because I grew up watching those other guys. But I think Derrick Henry has to be put above him right now because what he's doing, he's denying all the naysayers, especially in the fantasy community, who said that, you know, to avoid him because there's no way this guy can do it again, carry the rock, you know, 200, 5,300 times, and now he's getting receptions, and he's not showing any signs of slowing down. He's showing signs of actually increasing production right now. It's going to be insane to find out what he's going to do in a month or two.
No, I agree, and those are all good examples. LeSean McCoy is one definitely because when he was with the Eagles and even with the Bills, just the way he could stop and, you know, and start. Another couple that I thought of, the one that I thought would be the best over Henry is Adrian Peterson because he does he did a lot of the same, but Peterson didn't really catch passes. I know Henry hasn't, but this year he showed that it's not that he can't catch passes; it's that they haven't passed him the ball. So moving on from that offense previously to this, where he's getting catches and, you know, he shows he has good hands and he obviously can run with the ball. And another person with to go with how you said all around type player, LaDainian Tomlinson. I know he was, you know, a little further back, but just he could, you know, fantasy-wise, he was one of the best running backs ever, and just, you know, all around how he got the ball.
Yeah, and Adrian Peterson, I was watching a stream yesterday, and somebody said that they were having the same discussion. They said that they couldn't put Adrian Peterson in the same tier as Derrick Henry, and I really got a really upset feeling. I didn't like that comment at all. I mean, I was in the chat. I was like, I strongly oppose that opinion. I think Adrian Peterson, because Adrian Peterson, watching Adrian Peterson break off a huge run was the same feeling you got when you're watching Derrick Henry break off a huge run. Like, guys, like, you know, Derrick Henry should be running that fast, as big as he is, but Adrian Peterson just had that level of intensity that he's just, I will not be denied. And on the offenses that he played on, they were such more inefficient, playing with Christian Ponder and a washed up Brett Favre. God knows who else was, you know, his quarterback. You know, he just didn't have an offense to play on, and he succeeded at such a high level, you know, with by himself, pretty much with no help. You know, he just did it by himself. He was insane. Are we saying that Derrick Henry? Also, interesting thing about Derrick Henry is catches real quick. Derrick Henry, I think his highest reception total was 19 last year. He's already at 16 receptions on the year. So he's gonna have like 40 or 50 receptions this year. Maybe 60 if they really get him going later on in the year. But are we agreeing? Are we saying that Derrick Henry is the best running back of our generation?
For me, it's very close between him and Adrian Peterson. I feel like Derrick Henry's not done. I felt like Peterson was at elite for a longer stretch of time, not because of Derrick Henry's fault, but for some reason, the Titans didn't get Derrick Henry started right when he was drafted. They would always, you know, they had DeMarco Murray. They even were playing Deion Lewis over him, which is
Matt LaFleur, man. It's Matt LaFleur. He's weird.
It's insane. I don't even know. Like, obviously, he was doing this in practice, you know, and I don't know how you could say we're good. Let's play
DeMarco Murray.
Yeah, let's play Deion Lewis, who's a third, maybe a fourth of the size of this giant man. It's crazy too, because I didn't remember this, but I saw someone put this. The reason that one of the reasons Derrick Henry went to Alabama was Georgia wanted him to play linebacker, and they weren't the only college. A lot of colleges thought he was too big. They said that he ran too high up, because Derrick Henry is from Jacksonville, where, you know, where I live, and, you know, he broke so many high school records, so he's, you know, kind of somewhat of a hero in town, and everyone took, you know, he was a big deal coming out of high school, and just what he's done in college at like top level at Alabama. Then he comes in the NFL, and you would think he's like, you know, just that physical running type that's not fast, but he, on that 70 some yard touchdown against the Bills, he was outrunning corners and safeties, and it's just, I mean, with that speed and how he just runs through people, I mean, no one wants to tackle that guy. So
Did you see that run that he had where he broke off and it was just Micah Hyde that had to tackle him in the middle of the field, the safety for the Bills?
Yeah.
I saw that I was watching the highlights, and I saw poor Micah Hyde, dude. He had to clean that mess up. And imagine like everything going through your mind, like when you're Micah Hyde and you see Derrick Henry running at you, and Micah Hyde is just a small little tiny safety. You know, Micah Hyde would, I think he'd much rather prefer to tackle Adrian Peterson, even though that would probably hurt a lot too.
Yeah, I agree. So I lean towards Adrian Peterson, but I was pretty much against the idea of Derrick Henry earlier in the week, but more that I think about it, just he's doing something that we haven't really seen a running back run that many times, you know, at that size, because they keep on, like, as you said, you know, in fantasy especially, a lot of a couple startups I did this year, I ended up getting Derrick Henry probably like, you know, fourth or fifth round, just because people are worried about him breaking down and everything, and I was actually trying to trade him later. Before the season, just because, you know, the diminishing value of him, just because you think the wear and tear is going to start. But the thing is, how long can he really do this? How much longer do you think he can put this up? Because it doesn't seem like he's wearing down. He never really goes out of the game.
I think we need to stop having that discussion at this point. It doesn't even matter anymore. Just ride it out. I mean, what are you going to give him away for? I mean, God, we got to do another show on this just by itself. Like, what do you want to give him away for? Do you want to give him away for 3 first-round picks? I mean, like, that's two. Is 2 first-round picks even enough at this point? Like, I don't think I could trade him for 2 firsts. I don't think I could. Two first-round picks, maybe. It has to be 2 high first-round picks. I mean, he's just getting better and better and better. You know, he looks better than he did last year, which, you know, how is that even possible? But, you know, he's a different breed he's a freak, dude. He's an absolute freak of nature. He shouldn't be doing anything that he's doing, and he's doing it all, and he's getting better at doing it. So let's just stop even talking about when he's going to slow down and just let the man work and enjoy it. Enjoy him on your fantasy teams.
No, I agree, because I think it's a similar conversation with the how do you trade Travis Kelce, because he's obviously the best tight end, but you assume that eventually he's going to decline, but it's kind of, you're never going to get enough value for what he gives you at the tight end. He gives you a top 10 wide receiver at the tight end position. So I think it's similar, and you just have to ride that out and just, you know, whenever the wheels fall off, you just got to say, it's been a nice ride, because you're just never going to get, you know, the value for that. So, but yeah, he's amazing. So next we're going to go into, we kind of talked about running backs a couple weeks ago. So I wanted to go into wide receivers. So I have another little fancy thing I created. There we go. Of the different wide receivers I took out, and this is just for this year. So I actually took out the Seahawks just because with Russell Wilson out, I don't think you can really, you know, kind of pick that out, because we don't know how Geno Smith is really going to perform. And it seems like Tyler Lockett isn't going to get targeted necessarily as much. So we'll kind of go through this. So for the Rams, Cooper Kupp, Robert Woods, a couple weeks ago, he had that really big game. Kupp is blowing him out of the water yardage-wise, reception-wise, touchdown-wise. I think, or at least I thought, it was going to more normalize where Woods would have, you know, a couple big games, Cooper Kupp would have less. But, I mean, Woods has really only had that one big game. So rest of the season, or throughout the whole season, who do you think it would end up with the better numbers overall for the Rams? Do you think Woods can catch up to Kupp eventually, or do you think Kupp is just going to keep on going?
I think it's going to be Kupp, and it's not just because based off of Woods' track record is. I think Kupp's going to be better than Woods for the rest of the year, because Kupp's statistically getting Kupp is seeing a median of 8 receptions per game. He hasn't seen less than 10 targets so far this season. He's seeing a median of 10 yards per target. This is consistent. Like, this is a consistency. This is week in, week out. And he's seeing a median of 13.8 yards per reception. So if we do the math, that's on the catches alone, on 8 grabs, and on just the receptions alone, don't even worry about what happens after the catch. You're getting 12 points per game from Cooper Kupp just on the receptions alone, assuming he has 8 grabs every week, which he pretty much is. Will it regress? I mean, there's a likelihood that it could regress, but I mean, I'm not gonna bet on that with this kind of production. I mean, this is insane. He's the number one wide receiver on the year. I don't think Woods is gonna come close to him. Woods is getting 6 targets per game, 7 yards per target, and 12 yards per reception. So his yards, he's getting 2 less targets per game, and his yards per target are 3 yards less per target. And he's just not. It's just he. Kupp is the focal point of that offense. It's 6 weeks now, and I think Woods is more of an ancillary tertiary piece of that offense.
No, I agree, and I've said this a couple of times on Twitter. Totally wrong. I've admitted it. Like, going in the season with Matthew Stafford, I thought Woods would be the target, because I thought he would be, you know, go deeper more often. And I assumed, but since Goff and Kupp were such good friends, but apparently it wasn't Goff that was raising Kupp up, you know, with all the short catches. It was Goff that was holding Kupp back, because, you know, Kupp is going deep with Stafford. And, even that huge game that Woods had against the Seahawks, where he had like 12 catches or whatever, I think Kupp still had like good numbers that game. He just didn't get an end zone. And I think Woods is still a top 24 receiver because that offense is still very good. But Cooper Kupp is, like you said, we're 6 weeks through and it hasn't really leveled out. So I think, he definitely is going to continue this pace. And the Rams getting Stafford, they just totally changed the outlook of that offense.
Yeah.
So the next one is going to be closer, or at least the stats are closer. The Cowboys with CeeDee Lamb and Amari Cooper. Lamb has 33 catches for 497 and 4 touchdowns. Cooper has 30 for 373 and 4 touchdowns. So pretty close. I know Cooper had a very big week one, so that's helped him. But I think both of those receivers with Dak are very good. So I think this one is really going to be splitting hairs. Who would you prefer the rest of the season?
I think it is splitting hairs, but I think I'm pretty confident I'd go Lamb just because we're already seeing Cooper deal with injury issues. I think that's going to have to be the tiebreaker for me, is just because Cooper's already dealing with injury woes, and I really don't want anything to do with it as a fantasy manager. So I'm going to go with Lamb, who is just much more spry, just in a better – he's in a better part of his career as a receiver. So I'll just take Lamb. He went off last week, and you're going to get your ups and downs, but, I mean – Lamb's just a baller right now, and he's healthy.
No, I tend to agree, because Cooper always does seem to deal with those nagging injuries, and he'll play some weeks, but then he'll take himself out of the games. And just CeeDee Lamb, just when he has these huge games, he looks unstoppable. And it will be interesting once Michael Gallup comes back to the Cowboys if he's going to get substantial amount of targets. But that offense can definitely support two, maybe three receivers, because Dalton Schultz has done well too at the tight end position. So that offense seems to be steamrolling, and I think we're going to talk about the Cowboys more, or I will at least be talking about the Cowboys more later. So now let's go to the Chargers. Got Keenan Allen and Mike Williams. Keenan Allen has 39 catches, 419 yards, but only one touchdown. Mike Williams has 33 catches for 498 and crazy 6 touchdowns. So this one's more difficult in that obviously Mike Williams has played very well this year. He's had some really big games where he's had a couple touchdowns. My biggest concern always with Mike Williams is consistency and his injuries. He's been fairly healthy so far this season. So what do you kind of see with the Chargers? Because you're a Chargers fan, right? So you get to see most of their games.
Yeah, so I think this is also, again, a product of the system. I mean, I don't think Keenan Allen has gotten worse as a player. I just think he's just in the system. That's just how he's utilized. I think he's utilized as lower targets per reception. He's kind of like the Robert Woods of the Chargers. I still think he's better than Robert Woods by a significant stretch, but I think Williams is just – we heard Staley talking about how Williams will be the X in that offense. And we know what Williams is capable of. We know he's a touchdown machine. We know in the red zone that he's an amazing target to have for any quarterback. He's a go-get it receiver, and that's what he's shown this season. He's finally coming to fruition. So I think the touchdowns will come for Allen. I think those are going to start to, I think he'll probably finish with seven touchdowns on the year, which would be nice. And, he's still a great PPR wide receiver, but Williams is the number three wide receiver on the year in half point PPR. I don't see him. I don't see why he wouldn't finish, why he wouldn't finish inside that top five for the rest of the year. So again, this is a product of the system. And I think Mike Williams is just going to be the more productive receiver in terms of touchdowns and yardage.
Right, and he might be one of the biggest values coming into the season, because he wasn't thought of very highly. So he might not even have been drafted in most leagues, and just a waiver wire pickup that could definitely help you win the league. So next we'll go to the Steelers. Juju is out for the season. So we've got Chase Claypool and Deontay Johnson. Claypool has 22 catches for 358 and one touchdown. Deontay Johnson, 34 catches, 376 yards, 3 touchdowns. I think this is going to be very similar to with the the system kind of talk that you've been saying. This passing offense isn't good. Ben Roethlisberger is not good anymore. So I said that's why I like Claypool overall in Dynasty as the Steelers wide receiver, because I think he's so talented, but he's more a deep threat, and Ben just can't throw it that way anymore, and Deontay Johnson's more of, you know, the PPR kind of monster, and that's why I personally would pick Deontay Johnson the rest of the year. Do you differ in those thoughts?
Absolutely. No, I don't. I don't. I say I'm consistent with your logic.
Okay. I was like, yeah. Oh, are you going to – I thought you were going to differ and then just not say anything.
No. I disagreed. I declined to comment.
Oh, you can't make me talk. But, yeah, even though the Steelers have won the last two games, just that offense is just
– it's tough. It's a tough watch, man.
I mean, it's kind of like certain quarterbacks are fine fantasy outcomes, but you don't want to see how they get there. Kind of like Teddy Bridgewater. You don't want to watch Teddy play the whole game because it's going to be very frustrating and you're going to be like, why is he starting? But, you know, he might end up with like 250 and like two or three touchdowns. You're like, all right, fantasy-wise.
Jalen Hurts falls in that category.
Definitely does.
Cannot watch that. Cannot watch it. Just show me the box score. Don't want
to see it. Very rough to watch. And lastly, we're going to go to the Bucs. They actually have three receivers. So we have all fairly even with receptions, fairly even with yards. The main difference is the touchdown difference, but it's still pretty close. So who would you want rest of the season out of these three receivers?
Well, it's fair to wonder what Brown would have had if he didn't miss that one game with COVID.
Right.
Because right now he's pretty much neck and neck with those guys. But I think I'm just going to take Brown on this one just because it seems like that Brady just loves throwing to him. Brown is the more versatile weapon of all of them. He can play X like Evans. He can beat the number one wide receiver off the line of scrimmage. But they're using him on end of rounds. They're using him on slots. They're using him on bubble screens. They're not using Evans or Godwin in any of those ways. At Brown, you want versatility in your wide receivers. So I think rest of the season is Brown.
Yeah, and it's just so interesting that ever since Brown, you know, even when he played with the Patriots for that one game, and since, you know, he's come to the with the Bucs, Brady just loves him some Antonio Brown. I don't get it. I mean, I know Antonio Brown's good, but, you know, I just would think someone that's a Hall of Famer would want someone that's not as crazy on and off the field, you know, because Chris Godwin and Mike Evans, they're very good players, but he just always loves Antonio Brown in the game. Even last year, he played much less snaps when he, you know, finished the season. Then Godwin and Evans run less routes, but every time he did, you know, was in the game, it seemed like Brady was looking for him. So I tend to agree, but I think all three options are still going to be good throughout the season because Bruce Arians loves to throw the ball. You know, running back wise, I guess Fournette is kind of taken the forefront because Bruce Arians hates Ronald Jones, I guess, because he never wants to play him. But yeah, I think Brown, as long as he stays healthy and he looks like his old self in Pittsburgh when, you know, he's getting all those targets.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
So now let's, we will go into, okay. And now we'll go into, this was kind of your idea. Instead of doing our, you know, would you rather segment, we're just talking about, you know, being an analyst during football season. So kind of why don't you go ahead and start out with, you know, kind of what you do and your thoughts on just being an analyst during football season.
Yeah, I just want to talk. I mean, because I was thinking about like how it really is a war of attrition. It's kind of like you really have to find and dig. And there's a lot of moments where you really have to dig and get yourself going and come home after like a long day or of doing whatever you're doing of living life. And then do fantasy football material. But I think for me, what really gets me going is if I have free time in the day, I really don't mind sitting on my computer and just downloading Excel stats and working on Excel and finding cool little nuggets about stats. It is exhausting throughout the year, but that just comes with the territory. I think if you find a niche that you love about fantasy football, especially like if you're trying to find something and it's not really out there, look for yourself and make it your thing and bring that to the table. Like, I don't know. Like, I just want to talk about, I was feeling really tired of fantasy football exhaustion. Like, I really like, I just wanted to talk about like how to stay, how to have some stamina as a fantasy football analyst and just kind of learn how to balance yourself. You know, like if you feel like you want to push yourself hard, just know that it's a long season. We say it's 17 weeks right now or 18 weeks, but it's a long season because you're doing this every day during every week of the season. So just know that going into this, you don't have to push yourself as hard as you can, but like remember to find some balance just so you don't get burned out, because anybody can get burned out from doing this every single day. And I'm pretty sure it will happen to anybody. So, I mean, that's just kind of like what I want to talk about, like how to, you know, just stay fresh during the season.
No, I agree. I think it was, I don't know how long ago. And I think because I just texted you and I just said that I couldn't do the show that one night. And just I just said, you know, I just needed mental time away. And I think that is big because I know some people that were churning out content in the off season. And then once the season came along with their other responsibilities, they're having trouble putting anything out. And I think what you said is big because you found a niche with that your running back game strip. I kind of don't necessarily have that niche, but I kind of look at certain things like during the season this year, I've done some college waivers with one of the sites. Then I do some, you know, little Devy work. And then for another site, I kind of just talk about the fantasy players that kind of let you down based on where they were ranked coming into that week. Not groundbreaking things, but all just kind of different things to kind of keep everything fresh. And I agree on the burnout. Just when you have free time, just look at something. And I don't remember who told me this when I started early, but it was just, you don't have to sit down and do work for 4 hours. Just take 30 minutes, you know, here or there, just to do a little work, you know, with articles and everything. Don't try to do everything at once. So I definitely, the burnout is a thing. I mean, we all, obviously all love football, and that's why we're doing this. But still, even if you love football, there can be a burnout. So one thing I wanted to ask you is, how do you choose what games you really are going to watch? Because obviously we can't watch in depth all the games. I know some of the games you watch are for the running back script, but just out of just kind of personal enjoyment and just kind of keep up, how do you decide on that?
It's usually really based off of what people are really trying to explore as far as options off of waiver wires coming up for the week. I really try to help people out with that. It's not like I can get work. It's not like I can get a report done every Tuesday night, but I'll try to get it done as soon as possible. So like, I really want to do one on AJ Dillon. I wanted to do one on Zach Moss. I actually charted his stuff out 2 weeks ago, but I couldn't get the article done. So I have a whole of a Zach Moss chart from 2 weeks ago that I haven't really been able to put a report on. So I got Khalil Herbert done the week before that, because Khalil Herbert was one of my favorite prospects going outside of the first, top five running backs or top four running backs this year. And when I found out that he got some touches against the Raiders that week, I was like, all right, excellent. Let's see what Khalil Herbert can do. Let's hear how he was utilized. And I think he looked really good. So it's a combination of what running backs I love to watch and what running backs I feel like people are going to be most intrigued by, based off of like waiver wire additions and stuff like that.
That makes sense.
Yeah,
definitely. I'm glad you say that. I'm a huge Khalil Herbert fan. I think if he played in college where he ended up, Virginia Tech, more years, I think he should have been drafted higher. But he played at Kansas, which for those that aren't big college fans, Kansas has been bad for years. And just he eventually transferred, went to Virginia Tech, and showed off he could catch the ball. And he got the start last week, and I was so happy for him to get to just show, you know, how good he is. And I think him and Justin Fields and, you know, when David Montgomery comes back. I think that's going to provide a good 1-2 punch for them moving forward. But I'm glad you said that. In games for me, since I don't do the running back watch like you do, I obviously try to watch the ones that are by themselves, the Thursday, Sunday night. I at least try – I watch the first half. Sometimes I don't watch the whole game because I'm just so exhausted, you know, and ready to sleep. And then I try to watch the Monday night. And then during the day on Sunday, I try to pick out a game that seems very interesting, has some potential fantasy-wise, and kind of just want to see that matchup. So it just overall depends. I live in Jacksonville, so the Jaguars are not very good, even though they just got their first win. But so congrats. Usually I'll watch that early on, and then once it gets out of hand, I'll switch to, you know, the more intriguing matchup. So, but yeah, I think that's always good to talk about the pros and cons of being an analyst during season, because I know a lot of people want to get into it, but they just need to know that, you know, it is a grind, and sometimes you have to step away and just know your limitations, and that's a big thing.
Right on.
So now we'll end the show with, so far through 6 weeks, the most disappointing team based on expectations and the most surprising team at this point. So I'll start with disappointing, and mine has been the Miami Dolphins. I know Tua has been hurt, but going into the season, I thought they would play defense, run the ball, pass middle of the road and just win games that way. Like last week when Tua came back, since they were playing the Jets, they just don't like to run the ball very much. They were the first drive, I think Tua had like 8 passes, and that the defense isn't really that strong. They make mistakes, false starts, fumbles, all those things. So I'm very disappointed with how that team has kind of looked, and at 1-5, I don't think they'll be able to compete, you know, for a playoff spot. So that'll be interesting how they move forward. I guess they're just going to – it's a trial period for Tua the rest of the season to see if he's their quarterback moving forward. So who's your disappointing team?
I think it's the Niners. I think what they've done in the offseason and not utilized their – I think Kyle Shanahan is coaching his job away. I don't know what the hell he's doing. He's playing the NFC West, man. You didn't give Trey Lance first team reps all offseason. You never really instilled confidence in him. Like, it's these intangibles that a player needs that we can't put on an Excel spreadsheet that count. They're fundamental to getting the stats, right? Like, Trey Lance has some beautiful tools. He's a great player, but you can see that Kyle Shanahan, just based off of Trey Lance's first start against the Cardinals, that Kyle Shanahan is scared to let him, throw it. Like, let him make the mistakes. Let him figure it out. Like, let him loose a little bit. Like, I'm just tired of the Trey Sermon thing. Brandon Ayuk. What's going on here, Kyle? Like, there's no more excuses anymore. Like, before this year, Jimmy Garoppolo was injured, and they had injury problems for like 2 or 3 years or however long Kyle Shanahan has been there. But now you have the weapons. Now everybody's pretty much healthy. Like, stop the nonsense. Like, George Kittle is now injured, and you're just Trey Sermon. You got Elijah Mitchell, who's fine. I get it. Elijah Mitchell's one cut up, but dude, they're blowing it. Like, they're blowing it. Like, you guys are behind, and you're lucky. You're lucky Russell Wilson can't play right now, because you can afford to put in Jimmy G right now. You're so fucking lucky. You're so lucky, Shanahan. It's letting him off the hook, but I'm really upset with what the Niners are doing right now. They're not playing to their most full potential. They're not giving the guys chances, so I'm very disappointed with what the 49ers have done so far.
I'm glad you brought up, first of all, Brandon Ayuk, because I don't know what they're doing with him. Like, hey, they're treating him like a college kid. Like, well, until you learn to be a professional, or just get him on the field. Obviously, he can play last year. So if you get him the ball and Debo, and that offense should be potent. And if Shanahan is this offensive genius that they keep on pushing down our throats, they should score points. Even with Trey Lance as a rookie and with his running ability, when Trey Lance started, it seemed unimaginative. You know, it was like what they never changed the offense from Jimmy G, which doesn't make any sense. And everyone said, you know, once Trey Lance gets in there, you know, Shanahan will unleash all these different plays and everything. And he didn't. And it's just so surprising and disappointing. So I do agree with that. So my surprising team is the Dallas Cowboys. I thought they would bounce back with Dak, but I didn't think they would be this good. I didn't think that defense could make strides like it has. That defense, you know, is very good. They probably got lucky that those Micah Parsons concerns came out before the draft, because they got a steal on him. Trevon Diggs might be the best corner right now, just the way he's playing. And then you add Dak, looks great. Zeke has come back with more motivation. And you can throw in Pollard there and all those wide receivers. They look great. And the rest of that NFC East is a disaster. I think another disappointing team I could have said was the Washington football team. I thought they would make definite strides forward. Now their defense is bad too, so I don't understand it. I think the Cowboys are going to run away with that division. And then it's going to be, are the Cowboys going to move forward from, you know, their playoff mishaps they've had past, I don't know, 15, 20 years, but they look very strong. So what's your surprising team?
Yeah, my most surprising team is not a good surprise. It's the Chiefs. It's a bad surprise. The Chiefs are I think the Chiefs might be playing for a wild card spot come the end of the year, because, I mean, first of all, they're last in their division. Chargers aren't slowing up anytime soon. The Raiders' schedule going forward, the hardest – I mean, look at the Raiders' schedule going forward, right? The Raiders have to play the they got to play the Eagles this week. Where are the Eagles on the schedule? This is the Broncos schedule. Okay, hold on. The Raiders have to play the Eagles, right? Then they get the Giants. Then they get the Chiefs. Bengals at home. They got to go face the Cowboys. They get Washington at home. Chiefs again. Browns, Broncos, Colts, Chargers. It's possible they can finish even, or it's possible they can win some of those games. Some of those games they'll probably lose the Cowboys. But I don't know. I think the Chiefs are in a tough spot right now. I don't think the Raiders or the Broncos are going to lose their games this week. The Chiefs this week have to play the Titans, who just beat the Bills at home. Derrick Henry is going crazy. I think they're going to force Tyreek Hill to play through his quad injury just because of their record and who they're playing this week. So they're going to need Tyreek Hill to play. So who knows? Tyreek Hill might re-injure that thing and come out worse for wear in the next couple of weeks. They're in a tough spot. I think if any team's going to fight themselves out of last place, it's going to be the Chiefs in that division, because it's not the strongest division, and Teddy Bridgewater is kind of banged up. So let's see how that goes. If Drew Lock starts for the Broncos, then I think the Chiefs will have an easier path going forward. But I mean, right now, I mean, it's not looking good. It seems like defenses have figured them out. The defenses finally understand, okay, it's Tyreek Hill and Travis Kelce. Let them throw the Mecole Hardman. I don't give a shit. Like, just take those guys away. And defense is starting to key in on them. They're starting to fluster. Patrick Mahomes is starting to look a little bit more flustered. That defense, the secondary is non-existent. So, I mean, they have been a disappointment, because how do you adapt as a team? You have to figure out something else as a team when every other team has figured you out in the league, no matter how good your quarterback is and your number one wide receiver is banged up with a quad injury, and there's not a – I don't know when their bye is. I don't think it's anytime soon. How do you adapt? How do you finish strong, you know, and secure a spot for the playoffs? I don't know.
I agree on a lot of those points, and don't want to get in, you know, the Raiders mess with Gruden, but it seems like maybe that offense could even get better, because this past week I thought they wouldn't win against the Broncos, but they got Kenyon Drake the more involved. Henry Ruggs had a touchdown. So maybe that, you know, in all likelihood, Gruden was holding them back, and that offense can continue to grow. So they're not going to go away. And that schedule you just named, you know, with the Browns injuries, who knows where they are then?
Yeah. The Raiders defense has been playing with some heart. They've been playing solid too.
Yeah, that defensive line is playing very well. So that's another thing. And then the Chargers, even though they had that rough game against the Ravens, doesn't look like they're going away. And the Broncos have a strong defense, and you know, Teddy can probably get them to, you know, 8 or 9 wins. So that it's and who knows, maybe 10. But yeah, with the Chiefs, I think teams have definitely started to figure that out. And I think they just realized, make Patrick Mahomes go on 12 play drives because he gets impatient, because he wants those deep passes to Tyreek Hill. And so even if you let Kelce get like 15 catches for like 130 or something, as long as you don't allow like 40 yard touchdowns, make him go down the field. You've seen he'll make mistakes because he gets impatient. And I think part of this is on Andy Reid too, because he's not adapting. He with CEH, he doesn't really pass in the ball when he was in there. And they have never found a way to get that third receiver. They brought in Josh Gordon. They brought in, you know, Sammy Watkins, all those guys. And it's kind of like they just force it to Tyreek and Travis Kelce. And once teams finally, I don't know why it took so long for teams to figure this out. It doesn't make sense. But yeah, think about it. If you would double team both of those guys, even though it would leave you susceptible a little bit, I would totally do that. And yeah, I definitely agree. Their defense has gotten worse. Their defense is bad, and it's interesting. So they're definitely not the favorite anymore, and they might not even be like a top four favorite right now in the AFC. Probably borderline, but yeah. So they have been very surprised. They could probably be surprising and disappointing. So that's a good call. Good call on that one. So that's all we have for the show this week. It was great being back with you. So that's it. And thank you guys for listening. And we'll catch you next week. I am HeyB3.
And I am ZKansFF.
All right. See you guys next week.